Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Wednesday, November the 8th, 2023, 21 minutes past the hour, 43 degrees and mostly cloudy skies here in the area. And it's the day after the big day, Election Day here in Ohio. And as many of you know, probably the most hotly contested issue in Ohio last night. Issue 1 passed, making abortion legal in the state of Ohio in 30 days with 57% of the vote. Over 2 million people voted in that direction. 2,186,000 people voted, almost 287,000. Nearly 4 million people voted in Ohio last night. Now, some people not happy about this. One of those people is the president of End Abortion Ohio and a candidate for state rep, number 73, Austin Beigel, who's going to join us here momentarily. But a statement was issued last night after issue 1 passed. And I'm not going to read the whole thing here, but I want to read this paragraph. We will call upon the governor of Ohio to treat issue 1 as null and void, to issue an executive order per the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution and Article 1, Section 1 of the Ohio Constitution, directing all agencies under his command to treat preborn human beings as persons who must be provided the equal protection under the law. All right. Joining us this morning, Austin, Michael Austin, how you doing? Here we are.
Well, good morning. Yeah, mixed emotions, of course. I feel sadness over the result. I'm mourning the state of the state, but I still maintain joy in my heart, and I'm ready to continue moving forward.
What do you make of the way the vote turned out last night? A lot of people turned out to vote in an off-year election, nearly 4 million people. Abortion rights passed with 57% of the vote. It certainly was no small margin. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I think not super surprising. The polling seemed to indicate that the whole time. The results we've seen from other states who have made the same type of amendments or even tried a pro-life initiative on the other side tend to see the same results. So I think whenever it is in these big general population votes, this is kind of the way things are going to go right now. That's the state of America.
Now, your group wants to do what at this particular point? Because now, 29 days, this becomes law, state constitution.
Yeah. Yeah, so we would still be making the same arguments that we have from the very beginning and that we've been looking at in other states, and that's the appeal to the U.S. Constitution. Really define what a person is, and we would love to see a state legislature pass a bill indicating that fact to redefine personhood from the moment of conception, and so that's really all that would trump the state constitution at this point is that argument that the U.S. Constitution and the Equal Protection Clause contained within should provide equal protection to all human beings.
Do you think that should have been done prior to the vote last night?
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, we've been, really, our primary opponent has been the pro-life organizations on this type of effort. They've gotten really comfortable in their ways of, a pain-capable ban or a heartbeat ban and all these various things, and I think they've totally missed the mark the entire time. We're over 50 years into the abortion battle, and even post-Roe versus Wade in the Dobbs era, it's still pretty much the same. It's more state to state now, but we see these mini Roe versus Wade's essentially appearing state by state now. And I always think the argument has revolved around personhood and not these little increments and partialities they've dealt with.
You know, it's interesting here because if something like that would happen legislatively from the government or the legislature, don't you think the people who voted on this last night would be very angry? Because, again, not a small margin that it passed.
Oh, yeah. Of course they would be upset over that. The pro-abortion side obviously wants to maintain their access to legal abortion, which we say is child murder. And, of course, they're going to oppose that effort. We've had very contentious issues in the history of our country where the two sides have been vehemently opposed. But ultimately, we want the morally right side to prevail, regardless of how many people are opposed to that at this current day and time.
But Austin, when the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade, didn't they say give it back to the states and let the states decide? And isn't that what happened last night? Certainly here in Ohio, we decided as a state that we want this with 57% of the vote. And certainly, if you had the chance to show up and vote last night, you did, with nearly 4 million people voting in an off-year election.
Yes, that's absolutely what they decided, and we opposed the Dobbs decision from the very beginning. We did not celebrate it. We did not see it as a victory. We said this is a very foolish ruling that is very short-sighted, as we've now just sent the battle state by state. It's going to cause a ton of division state by state and across the country. And it doesn't provide equal protection to the preborn whatsoever. And so our legal team, our partners at the Foundation to Abolish Abortion, wrote one of the amicus briefs during the Dobbs decision and said, like, this is a mistake. We should rule right now that human beings from conception are people under the law, and not just make this a state-by-state issue, which is bound for disaster.
Now, your group, End Abortion Ohio, where does your funding come from to continue these battles?
Where does our funding come from? Where it's always come from, just contributions of people who care about life.
Right. So is it any money from big donors or anything like that? Because a lot of people get accused of that as time goes on, that big money, dark money, all that sort of thing is running groups on both sides.
Oh, yeah. No way. Not within Abortion Ohio. Not whatsoever. It's a ton of 80-hour work weeks, volunteer hours from lots and lots of people working extra hours on side jobs to be able to fund it ourselves. It's people who really, really genuinely believe in the ideology. It doesn't pay our bills. It doesn't do anything. We rely on very small amounts of generosity from people.
What do you think is going to happen in now 29 days when this becomes law in Ohio?
Really, things aren't going to look that much different, as crazy as that sounds. But we already had abortions through 22 weeks in Ohio. The state of the abortion battle here, it was already really, really bad. Like, we're already one of the most liberal states and on this issue, and yes, they passed the heartbeat bill a few years back, but that hasn't been enforced. And so it's been abortions through 22 weeks, and you know, that accounts for 98-99% of abortions. So the daily, day-to-day abortion access type of thing really isn't going to change that much. I think it's bad legally to put that in your state constitution. I think that's just a poor message to the people, and really it begs for the wrath of God on this issue, but it's pretty much going to look the same in 30 days.
When you say the wrath of God, if somebody's had an abortion or will have an abortion, what do you mean? Are they going to feel the wrath of God? I'm confused at what you were saying there.
Yeah, we see that blood guiltiness does affect states and nations, and individuals who commit the sin of murder obviously are going to be held accountable to that one day. There is, of course, forgiveness and repentance through Jesus Christ, and he's there as your pardon for your sins in those areas. He's been my pardon, and I hope he will be a pardon for many others who cry out to him.
Okay, I have to ask you something here, Austin. Last night, as I say, nearly 4 million people showed up to vote. Ohio is a very conservative state regarding the politicians we elect. Certainly the majority of the legislature is Republican. At this point, we only have one statewide Democrat holding office, that's Sherrod Brown. Every other office is held by a Republican. The governor is a Republican. He opposed this. We saw him campaigning against it many times over the last month or two. And yet, when people showed up to vote in this very conservative state, they voted for issue one, 57%. What does that say to you? I would imagine people who normally vote Republican voted for this last night.
Yeah, I think a lot of Ohio Republicans are more fiscally conservative rather than socially conservative. I just generally see that across the state and from the conversations I've had a lot with voters. So I think the education on abortion and life has not been done very well in Ohio, and there hasn't been great Republican leadership on this issue, honestly. And so while there's a lot of platitudes that are said, but nothing that really sticks with people and connects with their hearts, and I think that that's where this issue really lies, and that we need some real strong socially conservative Republicans in there instead.
Austin Beigel, president of End Abortion Ohio and candidate for state rep number 73. Thank you, Austin, for joining us this morning. I appreciate it.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Best wishes to you and your show.
Yep. All right. There you go. That issue continues along the way as well. Now we've got groups, End Abortion Ohio, who now will call upon the governor to treat issue one as null and void and issue an executive order. So there you go. Phone lines are still open. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. What a night it was. And holy mackerel, what a time we had in our election coverage. We had a great time last night. You know, it was one of those elections that had nothing to do with president, had nothing to do with governor, but my goodness gracious, did it have something to do in general with people. And when the vote came down last night on issue one, it was just an interesting feeling in the studio is what I will say. Both ways. And now we're going to see what happens with that and recreational marijuana. Now, River Valley's levies, it looks like they have passed now. We've got all the votes in at this particular point. We heard from Cody Higley there right before we went to break. So that's where that is. They worked hard, and I think by a slim, slim margin, one levy by 82 votes and the other by 101. Passed by a slim margin, let's put it that way. And over 18,000 people voted. We were talking about what this number was going to be, what, how many people were going to be drawn to the polls in Marion County. In an election that normally would see about 5,000 votes, we saw over 18,000. Nearly 50% of registered voters in Marion County voted last night. Nearly 50% of registered voters voted in Marion County last night. We wish the other 50 would have shown up, but I commend Marion County for 50% showing up in an off-year election. Go ahead, caller.
Well, I commend you, Scott Spears, for your staff. You've done a wonderful job. I listened to the entire thing, and I thought you new studio and maybe equipment and all really sounded perfectly. I never seen one hitch in it at all. And the young people you had, Carrington and Matt, what a professional job those two done. They was really, there's no hesitate in their calculations of what they received, and they pronounced everything right down to the T, so you've got a really good staff. And your cousin there, Sean Kraft, my goodness, he done the operation on the microphones and everything. I'm telling you, Scott, that's the best show that I've ever listened to, with all the mechanical things and stuff going on and your other scouts out there at the polls and stuff. It was really great. I really commend you seriously. A tremendous amount of work went in on that.
You know, I'm so glad you bring this up because, honestly, once we went off the air last night, we all kind of looked at each other, and that's the 10th time we've done election coverage on this station, 10 years we've been doing it, and everybody last night just felt elated and good with our coverage. Carrington had never done it, and if I asked her a question, she was Johnny on the spot. Matt was under a pile of paperwork in a big mess down there at the Board of Elections, and if I called on him, at one point last night, if people were listening. I called on, or Mary Ellen said, who's down at the Board of Elections? Within 10 minutes, Matt called back with everybody's name who was down there. That,
I missed every inch of that. I never missed a word. I could, if I had a memory, I could typewrite that right out, and I know exactly what you're talking about. But I'm telling you, I thought that was the best of all the shows and everything and all the hiccups and stuff you had, per se. All your shows, that was a tremendous coverage on the outside, on the election. You was just as well informed as anybody. I know that when they received the information, it seemed like, when are they going to get it? When are they going to get it? I want to hear this on the air, you know. But it's just one of them things. They got it, and those people that was working, counting those votes or however, electronically or however they do it, they was under tremendous pressure, too. They got to go according to rules and regulations, and that's what they did, and it come off great. I really appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate it too, and I want to mention Sean, who didn't get he doesn't get to say a whole lot because he's keeping us on the air, running the microphones and things of that nature. And I don't know if people know this, but about a half hour before we went on the air, the phone line was not working properly because we had just transferred it to the new studio. So he was working on that diligently to get that back up and running. So boy, we were right up till the time to go on the air last night, getting these things ironed out.
I was present, and at 7:15, and I thought, oh my goodness gracious, this can't be happening! It can't be happening! And here, the 7:15 and on down, boy, all at once, click! You guys is on the air, and a little moving around on mics. Different people said they couldn't hear, but when I started listening to it, it was all very clear. There was no hesitation about understanding. When you cracked that mic at 7:30, I understood everything you said, and all your other people working there for you. It was great.
Did you like that we brought people? Because I wondered how this was going to work. We brought Miranda McGinnis in. We brought Ayers Ratliff in. We brought Jason Schauber in. We brought Glenn Coble in. We actually brought them into the studio, and I liked doing interviews during the coverage, during the lull moments, and certainly Mary Ellen as well. I thought that was tremendous to get the reaction right as it was happening.
Yes, it was, and that's why I highlight this is the best one I've heard, because that's what makes a show. You didn't have the same three or four people in studio. You had the people that you was working with, those people that was in the ballot box there to vote upon. And that's what made it super interesting. I'm telling you, Scott, that meant a lot to me. It showed the professionalism in your cast that you got. Yep.
Well, I tell you, we got a group, and Pastor Craig down at Republican headquarters, and Linda, and Terry was doing a great job. They all were working. If I wish people could have seen how hard people were working to pull that off.
Well, now I'll have to break in on that. Now everybody's working hard. But Linda and Pastor Craig, now, in my opinion, those two was in a facility that they could eat and have something to drink at a drop of a hat. You folks, all the rest of you, was there, and you didn't have time to eat or blink an eye. But those two, Pastor was emphasizing on all the great food it was. Now, there the pastor is in a liquor facility. But, he never let Christianity or anything involved in there. The food was good there, too. that's just some joking emphasis, and I don't think I'm hurting nobody's feelings, but they sure had it made in that facility they were at. And, by the way, when are you going to say about where your new studio is?
I think on Friday. We wanted to make sure everything's set up before we told anybody, and we're just about there. So I think Friday morning we're going to broadcast live from there, and I think we'll probably say Friday morning.
Yeah. Well, now I'm the guy that gives the one likes to hear the hints. Good. Now, are you north, southeast? Your old studio.
We're not too far from the old studio. We're still on the south end of town.
Well, I was going to say maybe the old the old, I got Sam here going, clicking in and out. Can you hear, still hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Expected spam. I'm going to fry him one of these days and feed him to the dogs. But are you down there in the Southland Mall?
No, we're not back in the mall, but we are on the south end. And let me see. I'm going to try to give one more hint here, then people can guess for the next 48 hours. Because I think we definitely are going to announce on Friday morning. We're on the south end, and we're in a build. I will say this. We're in a building that has other businesses in it. We're not alone, which I like. I like walking into a building with businesses. And, by the way, the other big thing, we are now handicap accessible.
I understood that. I heard the employees there saying they're glad of that, that, you know, you don't have to stumble up and down steps and stuff. Now, is the other building, is that, I'm being nosy because the election's over with, so I got to have some fill-in because hasn't the weather been, ever since that the deer season come in, I thought, man, what kind of beautiful weather this October, November is in, and we're going to have, according to Adam, we're going to have maybe 10, 16 more days or something like that. It isn't going to be winter yet, and they said maybe, I heard a long time ago, months back, that it's going to be a mild winter, but I've heard that before. We might have a foot or 2 foot of snow right in front of us that we can't even get out the door. You never know about those mild winters.
That's right. Those long weather predictions don't hold up sometimes.
Did you have new microphones and the equipment also when you moved to this new facility?
We had a couple new microphones, I will say that. We do have a new internet provider, and I think that helps quite a bit. So that would be the new,
I'll let you go and somebody else can comment, but I'll tell you, the way you performed that and had the individuals coming in that was being voted upon, that was a cool thing there.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you for listening.
And that young staff, those two I told you about and bragged about all the time, they're coming through superstars, aren't they?
Oh, you know what? Could not have ended better, ended up with two better people than Carrington and Matt. They are great.
And isn't it tremendously that you got a male and female? And or I should say the female comes first and the male. That's how you present man and woman, right?
Probably. Stay safe,
Yeah, we'll stay on that safe side on the women's side because that will be the failure, you know, if you don't have those included in the staff.
That's right.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. 740-751-4038. Yes, you know, the staff, the whole group last night. I just can't say enough. And when it was over, I don't know if you... We had a lot of people listening because, boy, we were getting the messages. Now, I was not close to a computer last night because I was doing the coverage, so I couldn't answer all these messages I was getting. But I was getting messages left, right, and sideways last night, and holy moly, what a thing that was. Go ahead, caller.
Scott E. Spears, interviewer to the controversial radio guest.
Yes.
You probably saw the Facebook I sent you, so I'll just give it to you live. I didn't know how long that person would be on.
Yeah, go right ahead.
As you know, my beliefs are all over the place. And you know what I think about the former governor you had on? I greatly appreciate that he took time out of his schedule to be on, so that's thankful, but we'll leave it at that. That's the most important thing. But this anti-choice person, and that's a term I use. I don't use pro-life. There's nothing about life there. I use non-pro-choice or anti-choice. Anti-women certainly would be very accurate. This will get me some flack or slack, whatever the word is. But calling a embryo or fetus inside of a female where there's an umbilical cord attached in dependence upon the female, as I told you, that's like calling a tree an end table from IKEA. I don't see that as even being an exaggeration. If there's an umbilical cord, Scott, it's the woman's decision. I don't think it's right, especially later in the pregnancy, to have an abortion, but I respect the woman making that decision. It's her decision, hopefully one she's made carefully in consultation with other people. But this guy's well out there. And that's, Scott, that's why this legislation goes this way. because there's so much extremism. It's not reasonable. And what he kind of said about Ohio having the, kind of implying the middle of the road to more left-leaning Republicans, which I think is kind of where a lot of my politics are. Certainly, I'm very fiscally conservative, and people issues, well, this kind of depends which one, I guess. And he's very right about that, as the guy's very sharp, but he needs to take a look at his views. And to me, also, those views are highly chauvinistic. So when he can get pregnant, maybe he can start to make that decision. So I would have liked you to ask him that, but I understand time was of the essence. But he's the reason, Scott, why issue one passes. I mean, one of many reasons. He's right. Ohio awfully seems awfully conservative for issue one to have done as well as it did, about 55% for both issues.
Exact same percentage.
On TV with his wife talking about it. That, I mean, I'm no fan of DeWine to begin with, but that didn't bode well either.
Well, you know, both issues passed with exactly the same percent. I find that fascinating,
virtually. I figured one would pass. As again, it doesn't say abortion is just completely legal at all times. And I could live with it if I don't expect the pro-choice legislation to be as lenient as what I'm thinking. And again, the late-term abortions are very rare. And anyway, which he also did mention, he kind of peppered the facts and logic with his extreme opinions, which is fine. That's salespersonship, and I thought he was well-spoken and spoke his point well. I just don't agree with it. I think it's a cause of a lot of these issues. I really didn't really think the pot issue would pass. I think it should. I think we do need to regulate it and tax it. People are going to Michigan. That rings a bell with a lot of people. You know, you don't mind the Marion 2-hour drive. So, yeah, if you don't like it, you know, libertarian view, Scott, don't use it.
Well, it did pass 57% for both.
I mean, people have brought up, will it cause more ODs, especially younger people? I think it very well might. But when things are legal, I believe we can address them better. Plus, I think the age, along with the alcohol age, should be either 16 or 18. I think that's part of it. That's certainly one thing Donald Trump did that I do not support one bit. I honestly think 16 is the appropriate age for all that stuff. Or at least like it used to be, like when I was a kid, 18, but not really enforced. I mean, I remember, you know, getting a pack of cigarettes from my grandma at 9 years old, and they let you do that. Right now, it's as hard to buy cigarettes if you're under 21 as it is to get into a casino or get alcohol. So I'd like to see that. Actually, Scott, I find myself being more in favor of lowering the age for those things as someone much, much more than 21 than when I was under 21, which kind of shows where my heart is. But, yeah, I mean, I appreciate him coming on. He was well-spoken. He did pepper a lot of good information with his views, and we thank all people who come on your show and present what they have to say.
And how about that coverage?
That's what talk radio is all about.
How about that coverage last night? As our last, tremendous.
Quite a marathon, and as usual, you don't disappoint. Why would I expect anything different?
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks, Adam.
Okay. Well, have a nice day, Scott. And I invite my fellow listeners to provide their views. If they don't agree with me, that's perfectly cool.
Thank you, Adam. Bye bye. All right, 740-751-4038, 48 minutes past the hour. Well, you know, the voter turnout in Marion County still is something to behold. 18,648 people showed up in Marion County to vote yesterday, or voted early. Just a little over 13,000 away, 13,000 people. No, what am I saying here? Yeah, it's been a long night. 350 more people. No, I was right the first time. Wasn't I here? 2,300 more people, and we would have been over 20,000 votes in an off-year election. Nearly 50% of registered voters voted. My goodness. You know, I just kept saying, I knew we were going to be over 15,000. I didn't know if we were going to break 20,000 or not, but we certainly got very, very close. All right. Phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. 3-8. And again, I just can't say enough about the staff that we had last night. What a group of people they were for us. Go ahead, caller.
I just wanted to say that I'm ecstatic that Tara Dyer got her seat in the school board, because you would be hard-pressed to find a better fit for that position. Tara,
you know,
she taught my kids in school, and what you see is what you get. The woman has an absolute heart of gold. She's a very hard worker for the kids.
You know, didn't that turn out very interesting? Tara came on Monday morning and talked about she felt the concerted effort that was out to take her down, and in the end, she finishes second in the race of four.
I know. When I listened to that last night, I just smiled from ear to ear. I'm so happy.
Now, as far as the coverage goes, as you just said, you listened. What'd you think of the coverage?
Well, listen, this is your show, and I don't want to go against you, but can you handle a little bit of constructive criticism?
Oh, no. Go right ahead. Go right ahead.
Well, I think you were a little hard on Matt. Like, he had a stack of paperwork, and he was trying to so quickly to get the stats for you, and you're like, so do you have that? So do you have that information? I thought, Scott, chill out. He's doing the best he can.
You know what? I'm so glad you brought that up, because you remind, you know, so many things going through my head this morning. Here's what happens. Now, Matt knows I love him, but here's what happened. And Matt is under a pound of paperwork down there. But what's going on in the studio is we've got Carrington, who's got the state issues pulled up. We got Mary Ellen right there, and she's intently waiting on the results. Whoever it was in the seat next to me, and it was several people. It was Terry. It was Glenn. It was Linda. It was a lot of people. And when I go, Matt, tell us about, you know, the River Valley levees. Well, then we got dead air, and I'm just trying to fill the, I'm thinking, okay, dead air, dead air, dead air, and that's what's happening there, and I didn't want to turn to another person, because we do have Matt on the line, and he would hear me turn and say, well, Carrington, what do you think about this? I didn't want to do that, so that's why that, you know, was happening mostly, and I understand that probably did sound harsh on the air, but, that's why that was happening.
Yeah, I just thought, well, the poor kid's doing the best he can.
I but didn't he do a great... I mean, that is the most...
Oh, yeah. Like, well, he said it was a packet. Not like they just gave him a sheet. I mean, he had a packet, you know, that he had to dig through to get the stats for you. And he's like, so do you have that information? Hold on, Scott.
Well, you know, we're always trying to race the clock on election night, and that's one of the things that goes on. And, you know, that's why, but Matt, he did a great job, and I think he knows that we all know that he did a great job last night. And everybody else, my goodness gracious, did we have the people there last night?
Yeah, it seemed like a well-oiled machine. Like, everything went very well. Clear, concise coverage that was easy to understand in a timely fashion. So, well done.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you, Sarah.
Uh-huh, bye.
Bye-bye. All right, there you go. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. You know, election night's interesting because you've got 1,000 things coming at you from 1,000 different angles. And I'll have to talk to Matt today. I'll see him again today. And I have to say, Matt, you didn't feel like I was coming down on you, did you? No, he did a great job. We're so excited to get those results, because we're getting things from the state level and we're getting things from all different places, and it's an interesting night on election night. Let's put it that way. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Definitely anybody who's ever done Board of Elections coverage knows that is difficult. That is tough stuff to be down there. But again, I think the big stories out of last night, clearly issue one and issue two pass statewide. Issue two passed in Marion County. How about that? Republicans certainly take over city council. Only one Democrat left on city council at this point, Ayers Ratliff. We heard from him earlier. New mayor, Bill Collins, coming in January. Tara Dyer keeps her seat on the Marion City School Board. River Valley levees pass.
first consolidated fire levies passed. You know, people may be coming around on these levies. The people have had a hard time with levies for quite a while, but maybe people are starting to change on that, getting out the vote and seeing what happens. It's all fascinating as we look at these numbers. Judge Ballinger returned to office. Well, if you've been thinking of saying something, now would be the time with 5 minutes left to go, 740-751-4038. And again, we have had a lot of configurations of people on election night working with us. And I thank them all over the years. But this year, we really had it. We had more people in and out of that studio than I think we have ever had in the history of election coverage, and we've been doing it for 10 years on this station, 10 years last night. It was fascinating to me on the whole. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, well, I thought, well, if nobody else is going to chime in, I'll chime in once more. I'll give you guys all the credit for telling the public about what was going on, and this is the way I feel about all the people that was voted in and won the election. What a good staff that's going to be. They're all going to be able to work together. I think you got young people in there and Marion on the board and everything, and I think that they see in their head that if we work together as a team like you folks did, we can complete everything, and there isn't going to be anything in any of the terms and how long they're in the terms that is going to be impossible to work together. And I think we got a people in Marion here that's going to bring it back up on its feet. And not that they wasn't trying before, but there was a lot of roadblocks, and they say high hurdles. Well, I run track, and I run the high hurdles. Hell, I could go over them just as fast as the low hurdles, just the determination in your head. What's ahead of you, you're going to clear it and be on their way. So, yay, yay for Marion County, and let's go for it.
Hey, thank you. All right, again, phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. 57 minutes past the hour. Any thoughts on election 2023, which is now in the books? A lot of talk leading up to it. We're now through it. And, you know, a lot of people will be glad now that the ads will go away. No more political ads. And I know a lot of people will be very happy about that. No more mailers. And today, all the yard signs, for the most part, I think will go away. And maybe nice weather on the way here. You know, so many people worked very hard, and what I want to say here at the end of this particular broadcast is not only our staff, but everybody who ran for office, whether you won or didn't win last night, the fact that you got out there and you ran, you stuck your neck out, I commend you to the highest level, because it's hard today if you didn't win. I know that for people. It's very, very hard if you did not win, but I will say that you had the guts to run for office, that you had the intestinal fortitude, and it takes a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of effort to run for office, and you take a lot of incoming. My Cubs cap is off to you if you ran for office. So it's a tough morning for a lot of people who did not get the W next to their name last night in the column, but I commend those people, as well as the people around here. Minute left to go. Go ahead, caller.
I can get it in a minute. I'd like to you, next time you talk to Mayor Collins, is to find out if anyone that would like one of his yard signs could have it for memorabilia. I'd like to be the first one to be able to get one. Thank you, Scott Spears and Bill Collins. Have a good day.
Thank you. We will check with Bill Collins and see how that all goes. Hey, Linda Sims, I think, is on 10:15 to noon today. Adam, 12:15 to 1. I'll be back tomorrow morning, and we will reveal the new studio on Friday morning. So get ready for that, 48 hours away, and we'll be broadcasting from there on Friday morning. For this day, this is a day after the election, a very bleary-eyed Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
You're listening to The Talking Place. Just listen to former star of The Jeffersons and 227, Marla Gibbs.
Where did the name Marla come from? It's so unique.
I made it up.
Really?
My name is Margaret. And I thought that was too mouthy. Margaret Bradley. There's no rhythm to it.